Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Darwin Liu, who is the digital marketer and who runs an invite-only marketing agency called X Agency. Darwin focuses on growing his agency, which broke seven figures in under a year and now has over 15 employees. Darwin has also founded AmericanBully.com, which is an online company that sells premium apparel and accessories for bully breeds. Today, we're going to be discussing Darwin's journey as an entrepreneur and how he's grown X Agency. So thanks so much for joining us today, Darwin.
Oh, the pleasure is mine, Julia. I canceled my life in that surgery just to be here. So thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
You're very, very dedicated. Let's dive into a couple of questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Yes, ma'am.
So tell us, what motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, as an entrepreneur, I think we all need a strong why. Right.
And yes,
for me, I've always wanted to be one. Even in high school, you know, where we have our questions, elementary school, where they're asking us, what do we want to be in the future? And I've been entrepreneur even in fifth grade. Really, it's for my parents. I mean, we grew up poor and seeing them work super duper hard for almost nothing. And I saw that and I was, you know, it really did, I guess, guide me in terms of everything else I'm doing. And for me, it was always, all right, I got to make sure I have to take care of them when they get older because they can't take care of themselves. So that's what drove this whole thing here.
Yeah, I love it. And I think it's so interesting that it really shows those signs of entrepreneurship. They really reveal themselves quite often really early on in people's lives. Because I'm the same. It was, and I feel like in little girls, it can be perceived as being, you know, the bossy kids, but, you just have that goal of just making things happen. And, you're very often strong-willed.
100% agree, Julia, you know, and as I'm going through this journey, I do realize that it's the same kind of people with the same kind of personalities that truly are entrepreneurs, or at least they gain them during the process. But yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So tell us, how did you get into digital marketing?
Yeah. So I never really did, you know, well in school. I was a horrible, you know, I guess, school kid. never had a real job. I was kept back in high school, you know, almost failed out of college. So I didn't really have a true career path, right? I just knew that I wanted to be on my own. So in 2008, right when we graduated, I really didn't, you know, I didn't have anything going on for me. I didn't have a job lined up. So I kind of, you know, did what everyone would do if they didn't know what to do, which is I'd ask Google. So I went to Google, I typed in how to get rich online, and, you know, online marketing was the first one. So that's basically how I got here. That was the start, and I've been doing online marketing ever since.
I love it. And then, so tell us your story about starting X Agency and, you know, why you decided to start an agency and how you guys are different from other agencies out there.
Yeah. So, you know, as I was saying earlier, in 2008, I Googled how to get rich online, and it was online marketing. So marketing was what I was getting into. But when I first started, you know, I was doing black hat scams, right? I was scamming folks. If you're old like me, you know, when Facebook kind of just came out, you guys would get these, you know, spammy things about a free iPad or free teeth whitening or free whatever. That's kind of what I did for, you know, a good amount of time. For 2 years, I tried all this black hat stuff, and, you know, I would have some big wins, But then it would just fail after a while because Facebook, Google, they catch on, they change the algorithm, everything that you made, you know, is gone. So while going through this process, I think I racked up maybe $30,000 on my credit card. And I basically failed, right? And during this entire time, I was telling everyone I was going to get rich. You know, I found this thing, it's online marketing, it's amazing. I look at all this money I'm making. And again, telling everyone that I'm basically going to be rich in about a year. And ends up Facebook cancels everything, kills everything I'm doing. And I'm $30,000 into my credit card and I can't pay anything. So only thing I could do was, all right, well, I had to get a job. And where would I get a job at a marketing agency? So I started from the ground up. At the agency, you know, I learned a ton. I built up my network, really grew at that agency. And the logical next step was to leave and build my own agency.
Awesome. And then, so what makes you guys unique? What kind of sets X Agency apart from other agencies out there?
Yeah. So, you know, I've worked at an agency. I have multiple friends at other agencies. I've been to the other agencies. And when I created this agency, I saw a couple of gaps that I truly thought would you know, kind of make us different, right? One thing that I really didn't really like at my old agency, but by the way, I'm still great friends with the CEO. It was just sort of the process that they were doing was pockets of knowledge. So, and I can't say the same for every agency, but I've seen many agencies. There's certain folks that have amazing knowledge, and then there's other folks who are just entry level and they don't have this, right? Mm-hmm. And the knowledge isn't transferred down, so it's not systemized, it's not made into a process where everyone can understand it. And when that a player leaves, then now you have a knowledge gap, and now everyone here doesn't know what to do, right? So for us, what makes us truly different is I'd say we're an education first company. We do weekly trainings, weekly learnings, and we really systemize our internal marketing processes. So we run about 80% the same build out for the majority of our e-commerce clients. And then 20% is going to be based on category. That's one. Second thing is I'm also against online tools. So I'm against third-party bidding algorithms. Back in the day, you know, the big three was Kenshu, Marin, DoubleClick. What ended up happening was everyone jumping on it, all the big agencies, nothing really separates them apart. Everyone who managed accounts went from being marketers to glorified reporters, right? They eventually stopped going into the engine and stopped understanding marketing. They only knew how to work the tool, hit a report and regurgitate numbers during the call. So at least over here, I was like, you know, we need to be marketers. We can't just push a button on a tool. So everyone here, we work in the engines. We don't use any automated tool. We're true marketers, which kind of sets us apart.
Interesting.
Third really is, you know, from my Black Hat days, I truly learned that no matter how great Google and Facebook are, there's folks who are one step ahead of them. So over here, you know, we understand the system, we understand the algorithms so much that we eventually kind of hack it, if that makes sense. We do things that we have an unorthodox approach. And it truly does work. It's really just us understanding the system itself because we're always in there and then really taking that and exploiting it.
Interesting. So how can you be staying one step ahead of, you said that you're able to stay one step ahead of Google?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So how, right?
Yeah.
So I guess one example might be, I'll give you all my internal secrets. Sorry. one example would be, you know, say this. Internally, what we do is the way Google and Bing, we need to understand that algorithms are man-made. So men or humans put that into place. And once we understand it, we'll take that knowledge and then we'll kind of, you know, and let me kind of explain. This perfect example might be this, right? The way Google kind of works is the way the algorithm works. They want us to stay on Google. So if you want to picture it, their service or their product is search results, right? And if there's bad results, people leave and they don't search on Google. If advertisers get bad results, they will go to Facebook or Bing. So for us, we start looking at all the numbers in Google and we realize that they will basically show us for what they know works historically on their search engine, historically in your account and historically in your campaigns. So majority of the times when we build out based on best practices per Google, what they end up doing is 80% of the spend will go to 20% of whatever we're bidding on, whether it's keywords, products, placements, only 20% actually gets that the brunt of your spend. So whenever you need to spend more, whenever you need to build an account out, 80% of everything you're doing doesn't matter. It doesn't get shown. It doesn't, you know, and this is more of a generalization, right? There's clearly different percentages, but majority of them doesn't. So what we do is we'll force Google's hand and we'll build out everything, we'll break everything out. So Google might suggest, you know, a couple of tightly knit keyword campaigns. We'll have six where each is an exact match one in each one. Google might suggest three shopping campaigns. We have 20 to 30. And we're really, and by doing this, we're forcing spend into items that they would have never shown. You know, we have products that, you know, when they were lumped in, they never get shown. Why? Because Google will only put spend in the ones that are working. When we do something like that, we're able to bid lower. We're able to force the hand on a ton of products, and we're able to expand our reach. And when the results of that, really, I mean, whenever we do something like that, we're able to double or triple revenue without increasing spend.
That's really interesting. And then does that take a lot of time, like when it comes to your team's resources to implement that?
Yes. And it does take time, right? Which is why, you know, for us, our team members, we don't load them with clients. Back in the day when I worked at an agency, I had 20, 25 clients. Over here, we have maybe 4 to 7. So we're more, you know, hands-on on the engine. But again, the results are there. So it definitely does work, and we're going to stick to this.
Interesting. So I'd love to talk a little bit more about the type of clientele that you serve. So I know that you guys are an invite-only agency. So can you explain a little bit more about, you know, what that means and then what type of clientele that you are looking to serve?
Yeah. So you know, when I first started, it really was me thinking, how do we separate ourselves or how do we make ourselves better? When there are thousands of other Me Too agencies, right? At the end of the day, we're just another agency and anyone can go anywhere. So for us, and when I first started, I had smaller clients who were trying to hop on board. And I really kind of just figured out, or at least said to myself, that this company itself, what we need to do is pick and choose our clients so that we know that we can systemize, we can be efficient, and we can truly understand and apply our processes, right? So for us, we take clients that we know that we can do well on. That's one. Two is we started with just e-com, but we also actually take, you know, other categories as well. But e-com was our bread and butter. We are invite only just because, you know, we have I guess 6 to 7 clients per team member, and we try not to, and I don't want to fail like Krispy Kreme where they expanded too fast and they couldn't handle, you know, everything that was coming through. Yeah. So if we don't have the bandwidth, we put people on a waiting list. And then three, you know, when we say invite only, it really means a lot of our partners, they'll bring us clients and then we'll say yes or no based on that, right? We don't just go out and invite folks to it. There will be people who actually hit us up on the public web and they find us on our website. Mm-hmm. And then depending on their size, we'll say yes or no. So having the invite only really makes us a little bit more exclusive, and we're able to pick it. Comes through. And when I say who comes through, on average, it's mid-enterprise level companies where clients ranging anywhere from, I'd say, $1 million to $100 million in revenue per year, right? Actually, we have a client that's probably like $200-300 million per year. So long story short, anyone who can afford us, and we kind of block people out based on our fixed spends or fixed fees that we actually charge.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. And I love that you've incorporated that element of exclusivity into who you're serving, because I think it's just, you know, from a psychological standpoint, people want what they can't have. Yes. So I really like that. And I think that's really smart.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what would you say is the one of the biggest overall challenges that you've had to overcome while you've been growing your agency?
Yeah. switching from an entrepreneur hat to a CEO hat. And, you know, it's not just me taking off my cap, but, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with that. We start off as entrepreneurs and we have these crazy, amazing ideas and we always want to jump from A to B to C and we're just throwing things and seeing what sticks, right? Mm-hmm. But the challenge really was, as we got bigger, I kind of realized that that's not what a CEO is. A CEO is someone who actually, you know, put the correct people in the correct places so that we can actually build the correct system so the company runs itself. And those are the totally different hats. It's a little bit less creative, a little bit more organization. It's more, you know, it's kind of like being, I had an internship when I was a kid at a State Street Corporation, and it was super duper boring. That's basically where I need to get myself to. And most entrepreneurs, that's super hard for them to do, right? Because again, we just want to create stuff. We just want to try things. So that's sort of been always, it's always a challenge. Whenever I want to try something new, I need to stop myself and say, hey, is this what a CEO is doing, or is this what an entrepreneur is doing?
Yeah, you've got to have that laser focus. And really, you know, entrepreneurs always, like you mentioned, have those ideas. They want to jump all over the place, get started on all these great tasks. But yeah, it's more, you've got to have more of that monotony in your job. And like, you're going to be doing the same things that are going to move the needle, that make sense, but you're not necessarily as creative as you might want to be.
Yeah. And I'm telling, you know, all of our C-level folks here, where it's like, we'll know we're doing things right when this company becomes super boring, because it's still kind of fun now, right? Exactly.
Yeah, no, I had an agency owner on just last week, and he'd been in business for 15 years. He's got a huge agency, and like, he just knows his stuff inside and out. And he's like, yep, just at this point, like, it's just the day-to-day stuff. It's not super exciting, but yeah, that's where you're at. So it's really interesting.
Yeah. We'd love to get to that level where he just does the same thing day in and day out. You know, that's when you know where you're doing things right. It is boring, but
yeah, exactly. No, it's interesting. So, yeah, I'd love to pick your brain a little bit on, what your sales strategy kind of looks like. I know that you guys have, you know, that you're very much referral based, but you know, if you have a client that you would like to work with, have you developed any strategies or techniques along the way for really closing that sale? And,
yeah.
Love to hear that.
So, and just to kind of clarify, right? The way I see sales really is kind of the same way we see our marketing approach, which is we do want to be in every possible channel that we can, because that will expand our reach, right? Mm-hmm. I started with referrals just because when we first started, for me, it was like, all right, well, I have to wear so many hats. I only have 24 hours in a day. How do I maximize my time? So instead of reaching out to singular sales or reaching out to clients, I would maximize it more by reaching out to partners. So when I reach out to partners, again, I'm using the same time, I'm using the same tactics, but having a partner who can bring you warm leads over and over again is way more impactful than me getting one sale and having to do it over and over. So
yeah,
partners
totally.
Is huge for us. You know, we try to get into as many parallel partners as we can. So we don't truly do web design or web dev, so we'll reach out to them, PR folks, and we'll try to get partnerships there, and we'll give, you know, affiliate or rev share, right? However, with that said, that shouldn't ever be an agency's only strategy. So we are starting, you know, and as we're making more, we are building out our own, you know, cold sales channels, right? So our outside sales. There's multiple ways, and what we've been really doing is there's these companies out there, this is kind of gray hats. It's not legit. I mean, it's against LinkedIn terms of services and things like that, but I'm sure everyone's gotten the email blast from some random folks where they get an email reaching out for services, right? Mm-hmm. We've gotten a couple of clients doing that. Same with LinkedIn, the automatic connection requests and things like that. We just hired a company that'll come in and actually build out our whole sales team and our outside sales funnel. And that's starting in about 3 months. So we're starting our own marketing as well. However, again, mainly right now is referral, but any smart agency would be in as many channels as possible, because if any referrals, any partner stops referring to you, then you're kind of dead in the water, right? So I do truly believe, yeah, in the HubSpot model, which is, you know, getting a blog content out, getting emails out, things like that.
Yeah. I think it makes a lot of sense to diversify the way that you're bringing your leads in, just so that, yeah, if one channel stops being effective, you're not without bringing those leads in. So do you have any tips for being more efficient and productive in your day-to-day?
Yes. Stop trying to multitask. I've done that so many times, and it's starting and stopping a task kills more time than sticking with one and trying to drudge through it. Right.
Yeah.
That's definitely one of the biggest efficiency things that I've done. Writing things down, writing mini goals, right? So start from the back, first always, and then work towards the front. So whatever big goal you have, chunk it out. Because if it's a, you know, I think the quote, if it's a big mountain, you're not going to go climb it, but if it's a small little hill, you'll figure it out, right? Yeah. So writing it down and really on paper at least works for me, because I get to cross it out and it gives me like a subconscious dopamine rush when I get to like finish my task. So
I know. Yeah, totally. Oh, I love that. Yeah, such great tips. I agree. So what would you say to date has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome within your agency?
Yeah. So, you know, marketing moves at the speed of light. It's a double-edged sword. It keeps, you know, what we do day to day super fun because we're not doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. However, it also makes it super hard to build processes. By the time we come up with a doc for how we run one thing, the thing totally changes. So it's always a catch up for us. So that's building systems and processes has been one of my biggest challenges, and we're still not 100% there yet. You know, we're trying hard, but it's always that, all right, well, it gets messy and then things get outdated. So we still try to figure out the process to do that.
Interesting. So do you use software when you're documenting the processes?
Yeah, we tried many of them, and I even forgot what they were, but we always revert back to Google Sheets and Google Docs.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, for us, it's always the most native thing, and I don't know why, right? But it's always, yeah, Google Sheets, Google Docs.
Interesting. So, yeah, where do you see X Agency in 5 years' time?
Well, you know, as an entrepreneur, we have crazy expectations, but in 3 years' time, we'll get to 50 million. By that point, we'll sell it. And I'll be off, you know, on vacation in Bahamas. I'm joking about that. Yeah.
Awesome. Very exciting. And then, so we're going to start wrapping up here shortly. Is there anything else that you'd like to add that you think would be helpful for our listeners?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, when you start out, right, I think it gets a lot of unknown and it gets very scary. But I would say I've seen folks who start out in agency or who've tried to do this agency thing and they fail out just because they don't see the end game. And what I would say is the end game really is just continuing, because there really is no end game. Mm-hmm. So even when it's hard, even when you think that it's all done, just keep going and you'll eventually get to where you want to go.
Love it. Well, we're going to move on to the fast five now, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
The Charisma Myth. I'm actually an introvert. So I honestly hate, you know, being out there. I hate talking. But The Charisma Myth, really, it's been an amazing book. It's really sort of changed the way I kind of talk to folks. And it really does work.
Interesting. Definitely going to have to check that out. Very cool. And what does your morning routine look like?
Snoozing, alarm. So I try not to, but, you know, and I follow a lot of successful folks. I read a lot of quotes. I kind of see what they do. And everyone talks about a morning routine, right? And I have one too. So clearly I kind of get the small stuff in, and I always get the small stuff in. And that if I can get the small stuff in, I get the big stuff in. And when I say the small stuff, I mean literally I'm brushing my teeth, flossing it, making my bed. So once I get those three things going, then that really puts me into my routine for the morning, which is meditation, stretching, doing the sun salutation for yoga, mm-hmm. and reading.
Interesting. Yeah, I've adopted a new morning ritual. And so every morning I start off by doing a little meditation, and then I practice sales scripts. I don't know why, but after doing the meditation, I'm just like in the zone, and I just like practice it every day. And yeah. And then I get started answering emails, and yeah. And I also do a little bit of like journaling. So just like working out like goals and stuff like that as well. So yeah, it's key. It's such a game changer.
100% agreed. And you know, when you say you're practicing sales scripts, I'm assuming that's probably your MIT or your most important task, which is what I would do too, right? So
yeah,
same with the journaling. I write my goals, my gratitudes, start off the day happy. And then I journal as well. And then I'll bang out my main item first just to get out of the way before, you know, everyone else. So
yeah, yep, we're on the same page. Love it. And then what is your favorite online tool?
Google Sheets is something that, you know, I've loved ever since out of college. It's, or Excel, if you want to think about it. Spreadsheets, for me, it was always like, you can do anything on a spreadsheet you can think of. You can make anything, to be honest, on a spreadsheet. that can possibly be done, and that kind of control for me, that, you know, I use it for everything. I truly do love it. It's my thing for everything personal, everything, you know, professional. And I say Google Sheets versus Excel because Google Sheets is overtaking Excel. I'd say anyone who's using Excel, hop into Google Sheets.
Yeah, I feel like Google Sheets and Google Docs don't get enough credit because they are just like, they're so convenient. You know, everyone's using Gmail these days, and it's just, it's like such a game changer as a business owner.
They have more capabilities than Microsoft Excel now. Like, it's just, there's just a pro tip is that they have, you know, a smart learning or machine learning where there's a button where you hit it and you can ask Google Sheets, like, what is the total revenue for the year of 2021? And if it's on your spreadsheet, it'll pivot table everything out and build it all for you. And you don't even have to know how to use Google Sheets, and it's just a quick button. So
that's so pretty cool. Yeah, it's amazing.
I love that we're geeking out on Google Sheets.
And then, is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yeah, there's just, I don't follow them specifically, but I do really love Jobs, Musk, and sort of the Rockefeller Habits. I kind of cherry pick and choose some of their good qualities. I kind of try to learn from their mistakes, but there's no one I specifically just follow to the T.
Interesting. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Getting a mentor early, I would say. You know, I was kind of always doing my own thing, and, you know, I never wanted to depend on anyone else, but I've seen it happen where a mentor will really cut the learning time in half, even more than that, and help you skyrocket your business. So anyone who's thinking about starting out, find a mentor, right? I think a lot of agency owners do love giving back and giving knowledge back. So just, I'd say first step would be reach out to folks that you see on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's such a big thing with entrepreneurs, kind of that fear of asking for help and, you know, just putting that ego aside and, you know, admitting that you're maybe not as knowledgeable on every aspect as you could be. And just knowing that you can constantly be learning is a great thing to implement into your business.
Yep. You said it better than me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Darwin. It was a pleasure to have you on the show, and I really enjoyed our conversation.
No, the pleasure is mine. Thank you, Julia.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.